Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Jen Luther, as you know, and this is the EFT Academy monthly mentoring call. And I'm so glad you're here. And as always, before we begin, I hope you've taken a minute to get yourself situated and bring your attention fully to the call, having your heart wide open and your mind wide open, and being open to the idea of receiving whatever Spirit has in store for you tonight as far as learning and sharing. And just so good to be together. So the first thing I want us to do is just take three deep breaths. And as you do so, center down deep into your spine and let your spinal column relax a little bit. Let your shoulders relax. Set yourself straight and tall. Let your belly relax. Let your face relax. I realize I've been clenching when I've been writing, so maybe just me. And with one more deep breath, telling the mind to be quiet and the body to balance, being fully present here and now. Our training topic for tonight is my reframe formula. And this version that I'm presenting to you tonight is the EFT Academy formula that is basically three and a half steps, but it's really three steps. So I've given each of you a copy of Stuck in Sadness. It's like three paragraphs that I actually read in an article that as I was reading it, my brain went aspect, verdict, aspect, and I thought, oh, let's use this and we'll play with it. This is how we're going to do it. I'm going to read through the phrases, and then I'm going to open the phone line and ask each of you to give me one or two things that you would have written out as an aspect for that. And I'm going to flip it back to the center of the thing. So I'm going to start with Kelly. Can you hear me, babe?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want you to take out your tablet, and I'm going to really slowly read you the first paragraph.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you then to give me two or three phrases that you might use as aspects. And then I'll go to Helen, and we'll see if she heard any others, unless I feel like you got them all, which it's not like a competition. It's just to see what sounds like an aspect to you. So The title of the article was Stuck in Sadness, actually, mm-hmm. is what it is. So I'm going to read the whole paragraph, and then I'll pause, and I'll ask you to give me some of the aspects that you heard. Okay?
Yeah.
My sister died of a rare and aggressive disease. She was sick for 10 years, but the disease progressed quickly. In the end, I never really got to say goodbye. And by then, she couldn't speak. So I'm not really sure if she understood what I was saying to her. Excuse me, what we were saying to her. She was my best friend and the best person I'll ever know. So what were some of the aspects that you heard that you might want to visit and get Sud's numbers on?
That she was sick for 10 years. First, that she died of a rare and aggressive disease. That was number one.
Yep.
And then I noted that how long she had been sick for the 10 years.
Yep.
And that she didn't get to say goodbye because she couldn't speak and she wasn't sure if she understood if she was saying goodbye to her or not. And that she was her best friend and probably the best friend that she will ever have.
Good job catching all the aspects there. So now I'm going to go to the second paragraph, and I'm going to ask Helen to play. And after we've got all the aspects, I'll come back and teach what I'm looking for a verdict. And then we'll walk through it. Good job. And good job writing quick. I know that's half of it, right, is when people are talking. We got to learn to write really quick, don't we? Good job.
Only I can understand it.
I hear you. And I know some people that use shorthand. It's like, oh, I used to, but not anymore. So, awesome. Okay. Helen, are you home? Are you stopped somewhere where you can do this?
No, I'm still driving.
Okay. Are you close to home?
No, I'm still like probably 25 or 30 minutes away from home.
Okay.
So I'm just listening.
Yeah, I'm going to have you listen. I just feel like I want you to be safe, and I don't want you stopped on the side of the road either. That doesn't feel very safe either. Okay. So Melissa, I just want to ask, do you want to play, Melissa, or would you rather
work
with? Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm game.
Perfect. So you have the second paragraph. I'll read it, and then I'll ask you to tell me what you highlighted as aspects. It's been nearly 4 years since she died, and I'm still completely grief-stricken. I miss her every day, and waves of intense sadness strike often. Even when I'm at work or out with my friends, I cry myself to sleep most nights. I've seen two therapists, but it hasn't helped because there's nothing I can do to change the problem. My sister is gone. So
okay,
tell me some of the aspects you heard.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel like sometimes aspects are also verdicts. Is that possible?
That's exactly what they are. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That what we'll do is we'll go back and we'll look at which aspects actually are verdicts. So can you tell me first which are aspects, and then I'll see what felt like verdicts to you.
Okay, so the fact that she's still completely grief-stricken.
Okay.
An aspect that she gets every day. She gets waves of intense sadness that strike.
Yep.
Even if at work, she cries herself to sleep most nights. And then she's already seen two therapists, but that hasn't helped because nothing has changed the problem because of the fact that her sister is gone. So practically the whole paragraph.
Right. So that's what I was saying as I was reading this, it was like every stinking line is just about something we can use as an aspect.
Yeah.
So, okay, great job. The only other one that I didn't hear you say is the 4 years, because there might be something about the 4 years that's important to her.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I thought, is it possible that it's the whole friggin' paragraph?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep,
so
pretty much. So
okay.
Good job.
Okay.
Good job catching the aspects. Okay. Shannon, we'll do the third one, and I'll read it for you, and then I'll ask you to tell me which aspects you heard. I have good parents and friends, but it isn't enough. There's a hole in my heart. My grief hasn't lessened or gotten easier to deal with over the years. It's only become stronger and harder. Sometimes I pretend that my sister is still alive, and I call and text her, even though her phone is no longer in service. I'm not suicidal, but I honestly don't know how to continue on in this way. Everything feels wrong. My heart aches. Will things ever get better? Okay, so tell me some of the aspects that you heard.
It kind of comes back to pretty much the whole paragraph,
mm-hmm.
I think, that she has good parents and friends, but it isn't enough, and that's kind of like the verdict. It's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hole in her heart. The grief hasn't lessened. Or gotten easier, it's only gotten harder. Her pretending that her sister is still alive so she can text her or call her, even though the phone's not in service. I think it's an important thing that, she said she's not suicidal, but she doesn't know how to continue on in this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big point. Everything feels wrong, goes back to a verdict. Her heart aches, and she doesn't know if it'll ever get better.
Excellent.
Which is the fear,
Mm-hmm. And and the PR, right, is I'm in resistance when
right.
I'm in those phrases. So good job. Good job, good job. Y'all are good at catching all these aspects. And I could have read that just to probably half a dozen other practitioners if they were new and they'd gone, well, her sister died and she's still grief-stricken, and, right? But because the ego tamer tapping is get all the aspects, we dig so much deeper. We get so much more to work with. So, okay, y'all are good. Okay, so let me just share my perception. This is my formula. I'm not saying it's the only way. I'm not saying it's absolutely right. It's just this is how my brain works and how it works for me. The first thing you always want to do is make sure that you have rapport with your client, and you're going to spend at least 4 or 5 rounds just tapping on the aspects. You're going to just absolutely the sadness of this aggressive disease. I would take that's a whole chapter unto itself for me, because I'd be looking for what does that mean? What was the disease? It has a name, and the name is going to hold aspects. And what did it look like? And what does aggressive mean? And what is the significance of sick for 10 years? What did she miss out on? And they'll tell you this, as you are all starting to see, they'll tell you this, which, by the way, this is part of why I wait until we get towards the end of the program to teach this, is it now will make so much more sense than if we'd have tried in the beginning, because you get it. You've heard it. You've heard it. You've heard it. So for me, after I've done those 2 or 3 rounds, and I can see that the numbers have gone down on the distress, that just the angst, they're still going to be sad, they're still going to be grieving, they're still going to have these feelings. What I'm looking for as a verdict is something that they are saying that sounds like a fact. And let me remind you, especially based on the conversation we had earlier tonight, a reframe is not some holy grail, life-altering moment of wisdom that's going to change their mind. That's not what the reframe is. It's not about going, I have this enlightened and personal information to share with you that's going to change everything. That's not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for is to help them see that they're making a statement that isn't based on fact. I want to kind of put a seed of doubt or I want to put a pause in their conviction of whatever they're saying. So with that in mind, in paragraph 1, star 2 to raise your hand, give me 1 or 2 things that could be a verdict. For example, my sister died of a rare and aggressive disease. That is the truth. That's not a verdict. It's not an opinion. It is a fact. Everyone would agree. No one would argue. She was sick for 10 years. Again, it's a fact. Everyone would agree. It's based on truth. It's not an opinion. So as you're looking through that or listening through, so hold on 1 second. Yay. Helen, what did you hear in that first paragraph that might have been an
I probably won't remember the words exactly, but she said something about she was my best friend ever or something about that.
Yes. Yes. Perfect. So she was my best friend. And how do you know that's a verdict? Tell me how you, because some of that feels like you kind of get that that's an intuitive thing too, but.
Yeah, well, I guess because it's like, well, you might have another best friend. You might,
right.
I mean, yeah, like life isn't over. You're still alive.
Right. And the second part of that was the best person I'll ever know.
Yes.
So those were the 2 verdicts that I picked up. And there may be others that sound like verdicts to others, but good job, especially since you're just listening. Woo, go, girl. That's kind of tricky. I have it in front of me, and it's circled and underlined so I can see which one it was. Exactly it. Okay. Yep. Oh, silly dashboard. Shannon, did you hear another one or one from another paragraph?
Those were the 2. From the next paragraph, there's one. I don't know if you want to go into that one yet, though.
Yes. Let's go ahead and gather the next.
The fact that the 2 therapists haven't helped because there's nothing I can do to change my problem.
Yeah.
Seems like a verdict to me because she can't change what happened, but she can change the way she perceives and can change her reactions.
Perfect. So there's nothing I can do to change my problem. So ladies, notice how my prayer for you, because this is, I think, one of the things that sets us apart as using the ego tamer tapping, is if that is her verdict and we don't address that, no matter how much we help her feel better about the horrible things that have happened and we take the trauma out and she doesn't see the visions, if there's a subconscious law that it'll never mm-hmm. change, talk about pushing the boulder uphill. So it's really important to be able to tune your ears to really start hearing these things that are verdicts, because now it becomes their law. Good one. Did you see another one in that paragraph by any chance?
Just the belief that, and it kind of is tied into it, that the therapists haven't helped.
Yeah.
But it's kind of that same thing. I don't know if I see another.
Okay. And that's cool. That's fine, because this is kind of a tricky one. It's in the first sentence where she says, I'm completely grief-stricken.
Grief-stricken.
And the word completely is all words like that. Like, I need to just make a list of these words sometime, but it's like, I totally, I always, I never, right? So y'all write those down. Is when you hear that word, it's good. It's like, but it's going to be followed by a verdict. I never.
Wouldn't that kind of be a description of how she's feeling that?
Well, all of them are. And that's kind of the next step about the verdict is it's not truth. It feels true.
Like,
but the word completely is the word that I would challenge.
Okay.
Okay, and that's what we'll talk about in a second, is after we get some more of these verdicts, is we'll look at how I would then go to, now what do we do with that? Now that we know that, how do we get them
right
from there to there? So good job. So let me just look real quick and see if I see another one. I didn't circle another one. That doesn't mean it's not in there. Cool. Okay. So does that feel good for you? You feel like
yeah. You
get that? Okay. So let me circle back here. Somebody else has the hand up. Oh, cool. Kelly, do you hear another verdict?
Well, no, but I was going to talk about this completely grief-stricken, but you got to it.
Okay. Yay. Okay. Well, we'll come to you in the last paragraph. We got several of the aspects. Are there anything that you circled in there that are that look like verdicts?
I just opened it up, so I have to look at it. What stands out to me is I'm not suicidal.
Okay.
But
I wouldn't think of that as a verdict, because a verdict is more of a statement of fact. Ladies, this is beautiful. Spirit just gave me this realization. I'm defending my brokenness with this verdict. Right? I'm defending my pain. I'm protecting. It's a form of PR. It's a form of resistance. These statements, we don't even realize it, but they really are. She was my best friend. Wall. So now I can't ever let anybody else in to be my best friend because I have this verdict and this statement, and the ego is defending the pain by giving us these kind of crazy phrases. So, okay. So in that last paragraph, are there?
Will we go back maybe to the first sentence where it says, I have good parents and friends, but it isn't enough?
It isn't enough. Right? Notice there was a but there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one of those words. I'm going to have you write these words down. I should have put them on your form. I'm going to remember to do that when I do the lesson. Words like totally, completely, always, never, it's just the way it is, right? Nothing I could do about it. Can you hear it? Because there's a resignation in it. So it's not, it isn't enough. And the minute I say that, it's that verdict creates a wall for me to have to get in and go around. Any others that you read in there? And again, ladies, there's not a right or wrong. This is just how it works for me.
I honestly don't know how to continue on this way.
And to me, I love that she said that because that's the opposite of a verdict. Notice that it's just surrendering. There's no resistance. It's the openness of, it's a plea for help, a cry for love. So okay. I don't feel the sensation that that's like a verdict.
I don't see another one then, unless everything feels wrong, but I'm starting to guess now, so I stop.
And everything feels wrong could be a verdict for her, because everything is the key word that I circled.
Okay. All right. Good.
Right. Is it another one of those energetic words? It's kind of, what is the word for that when it's all or nothing? That, right? Is it like just kind of over emphasized? So, good job! Yay! Thank you. Okay. So here's what I want you to do: is on your sheet, on a clean piece of paper, might be helpful. Draw a line, a horizontal line across the top of your page. And then make 1, 2, 3, 4 columns. And in the first column, the title is the aspect or the phrase. The second column is you're asking yourself, this is you, you're not going to say this to the person, this is you working it out in your own mind before you try to reframe it for them. The question is, is it true? Not does it feel like it was true, not does it sound like it was true, but is that a true, honest to God, it's the only truth possible statement? And notice that a verdict is kind of a fact, is another word. As they say it like it's a fact, like everybody should know that, right? But if you didn't know that, she was her best friend. And like I think Helen said, then you're never going to have another best friend. So then the third one is echo, question, or provoke. Echo, question, or provoke. So Helen said, she heard she was my best friend. She heard that that's not a truth you'd want to have, like she's the one and only. I'm trying to find Helen on here. Here we go. There we go. So how would you inch her out of that verdict that she was my best friend?
Oh, I don't know. I'm so direct. I don't know how
to reach that. Okay. So what you actually said to me was something along the lines of, so there's no other best friend in your future, right? Something along that line?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the approach that we call provoking, is it's like I'm literally toe-to-toe challenging that BS. I'm calling BS with a bullhorn.
Yeah.
And I'm having you look
at
it.
Okay, I guess it depends on the situation.
It depends on your rapport with the person and the issue at hand. If it's grief, I would never provoke at that stage.
Yeah.
Right. The first thing is I would say, she was your best friend.
Yeah.
And I imagine your sister, she was like, and I would start inching in little words, she was like your best friend. I wonder if you'd be open to the idea of considering, and y'all have heard me say 1,000 phrases like that, that in that moment, yes, she was, and of course I'd probably be tapping while we're doing this. And I wonder how you'd feel about considering that there might be room or possibility for a new best friend. And that's, you got to trust yourself and you got to trust them, right? Because wherever that's going to go might really tick her off. No, defending her brokenness. No, that's my verdict. And that's how we know we've hit a button, by the way, is if there's some defensiveness about protecting it. And so then I might say, that's awesome. That's beautiful. I wonder what your sister would want for you. Right. Then it's like, okay, so that's your opinion. What is this person that you love and have called your best friend? What would she want for you? Would she want to be your only and forever best friend for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
So that's how I would handle that one, is I would question. I'd echo. I always echo first, just because most of my stuff is grief, and I echo to kind of see what their energy is on it. I know I'm not done yet. I'm not ready to reframe if they're touchy, right? She was your best friend. Yeah, what of it? Okay, we're not done there, right?
Yeah. So would you be checking suds on all these aspects?
I would check and recheck all the way through the process, and I do it multiple times every round. Right? Is that and sometimes it won't be the actual numbers until we get to the end of it, but it might be. Does that sound right? Does that feel right? Am I in the ballpark?
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So that's a way that I'm retesting as we're going. But most of mine is by my energetic empathy and observing their tone, their tempo, their body language. So yeah, good one.
Awesome.
Woohoo.
Awesome.
Awesome. Okay. Anyone else have? Oh, let me lower the hands here. Everybody's doing a great job. So anyone else have a question or a thought about that reframe, specifically on this idea that she was my best friend? Yes, Shannon.
So would you actually, I would almost do that closer to the end and work on some of the, okay. I didn't know if you would do it in that order or, and work on some of the other grief parts first.
Yeah, what I would probably do, to be honest with all of you, is I would probably work the whole story. I'd do rounds and rounds and rounds on the whole story, every aspect, every whatever.
Okay.
And then I'd go back to these points, and as we're doing the suds, I'd pick up on the ones that felt like verdicts to me.
Okay.
And then I would echo, question, inquire, right, tender,
okay.
because clearly she was in a really vulnerable state. But yes, absolutely, that always we do multiple rounds on everything in the story before. And I'm sure all of you are starting to sense this, I'm sure you are, Shannon, too, is that you already are hearing them and you're already getting intuition about this is how we would flip that, right? Is you kind of have an intuition of, am I right, that you're already starting to...
Yeah, well, it was interesting because I was feeling a little defensive when you started, like, we're going to get in that. And I'm like, oh, but that's my best friend. I was really connecting with her. So, and she's a fictional person, so it's kind of funny to me.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So food for thought as well, right, is we need to make sure that we're in a neutral place when we're coming,
right,
when we're working with them too. So good point. Very good point.
Right.
Okay, so completely grief-stricken. That's a verdict I heard. What would be your process for softening that verdict a little bit? What's the first step?
Are you asking me or am I still on?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I don't know.
Okay, so
completely grief. I would probably go, you know, like you said, go through about her grief and really tap on that. And then I think I would connect to shift a little bit lighter, and instead of using completely, to see if she can find joy is too strong of a word, but to find peace, is there a time when she can find peace? Is there anything that she does that can bring her peace? And kind of just softly go into, okay, what are some areas that even going through all of this, loving herself and finding any sort of peace in the grief.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how
softly.
I do it. Yeah, and that's exactly how I do it. If somehow we were at a really good, had a really good strong relationship or whatever, my first thing is always to ask myself, is this true? Is it true that she's complete? Mm-hmm. Is she getting to work? Is she getting on the bus? Does she go to,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I always, for me, I always interject, I reflect it back to them with the word feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that you've been, I so want to acknowledge that, and I wrote it down here, that you've been feeling
completely
grief-stricken. Mm-hmm. There's something about telling them, separating that with the word feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when we insert in the ego tamer tapping, when we insert the oh my gosh, my brain just went blank. So we have the setup phrase that is, even though I, and we insert, not the permission phrase, what's it called? My brain just
The softener.
The softener, right. And it's a little wedge that kind of puts a little space between it. And so that's the first thing I always do is I throw in the word feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I so understand that you've been feeling. And we're tapping, so they're saying it behind me. I so understand, even though I've been feeling completely grief-stricken. And in some situations, I might actually kind of tease them. Completely. When I'm on the potty, mm-hmm. when I'm kissing my husband, whatever.
But it depends with grief. I think it depends on how soon, too, and how raw they are.
Yeah, it's totally where they are in that moment. It is totally always.
Yeah, because I think they can get – I just remember the grief, you know.
Yeah.
And And even my client today was like, I've never experienced joy. I was like, perfect. Never.
So, right? Yeah. Good. Okay, thank you. Good job. I see a hand up. Hold on 1 second. Melissa, question, comment, share.
Yes, I did have a question, but I don't remember what it was, but I do have it. We had four columns. What's in the fourth column? Did I miss that?
I haven't given you that yet. So you've got the aspect of the phrase, right? You've got the is it truth. Then you've got echo, question, and provoke. And the last one actually is anchor a better verdict.
Mm-hmm.
And really in that state, it's not even so much a verdict, but anchor a better mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's when I usually go gratitude, and wasn't it wonderful that I had that many years with her? And of course, this might take 7 sessions, y'all, right, as I might not get to these reframes on the very first session if it's really raw like we're talking about. And grief is different. There will be situations where it's not that tender and you don't have to be that cautious. You always want to be gentle and you always want to be cautious. Let me say that differently. I'm just so hypersensitive to how raw grief makes us that I'd rather err on the side of safety than offending. So, okay. Any other question, Melissa? Did that answer?
It did. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. And so, for example, with that particular phrase of "she was my best friend," that's exactly where I go after we kind of said "best friend." I hear that it feels like she was your best friend. What a blessing that for the short period of time that you had her for your best friend and your sister. And I wonder how she'd feel about you opening your heart and mind. Because notice that we're now answering some of the things in the bottom, which hopefully we've already tapped through about there being a hole in my heart and it'll never get better. And right, there were so many verdicts in here that really pinged for me. And what a blessing. And remember that she's not suffering from that disease anymore. And remember, using their faith always, their language, their belief. I then try to build up the confidence and the faith. Okay. Clear so far? Questions? Start two. Anybody have a question? Anything confusing? Is it making sense? Let me know if there's a question or something that we need to go back and answer on any of those. Okay, so in the interest of time, I'm going to go through a couple of others of how I would handle them. So isn't enough. Where did that come from? I have good parents and friends, but it isn't enough. So the first thing I'd do is I'd ask myself, is that a phrase that I want her to believe? Is that a truth? And then I might say, what would it take for your parents and friends to feel more like they're enough for you? Because the attachment, and it's all ego stuff, by the way, in my vernacular, it's all that little ego self that wants to stay in this, some scriptures just popped in my head, that wants to stay in that broken place where I can't really be of service to my fellow man. As long as I'm stuck in that grief and feeling sorry for myself and mourning my sister, I'm not living life. I've basically checked out and I'm wallowing in the grief. And scriptures tell us, be of good cheer. Be grateful for your challenges. Bless the new day. So whatever the person's faith is, that's where I'd want to take them in the anchoring a better mindset about that. But it isn't enough. What would be enough? Right? It's a question. Help them figure it out. there's a hole in my heart. That's a fun one for me because it's a horrible phrase, but that's a fun one for me because I immediately, when I read it, thought, how big is the hole? What color's the hole? What would it take to heal the hole? Right questions. Back to questions. I know it's not true. There's not really a physical hole in her heart, right? But there's this gaping wound in her spiritual heart. So we would tap and tap and tap on this wound and this pain in her heart. Kelly.
I just want to say that was so powerful just then. I love that, asking to describe the hole.
Yeah.
What color? How big? Okay, I just want to tell you that, yeah, kudos. Good job.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, it's really helpful. Yeah, it's really helpful. Thank you. That if they give you something like that that's that specific, it's a psychology thing for them. That's an NLP thing. It's like they're actually visualizing that they have it. So, yeah, great. I'm glad that was helpful. And that's why I call it fun, is it's because like now we can take that information from their subconscious mind and play with it. It's that now becomes Play-Doh. Everything feels wrong. And the word that I circled was everything. It's another one of those words. It's exaggerated. Everything, always, never, right? So then I would say, I heard you saying that everything feels wrong. We've tapped for 20 minutes by now, right? Does everything still feel wrong? And what would it take for you to feel like there's more right in your life now instead of everything being wrong? And a lot of times I will already have this information in the back of my head because we've talked about other things in their life. They have this granddaughter that they love. They have, you get what I'm saying, is you've done your homework to get the history so that you know more about this person, about what they love and what matters to them. And remember, ladies, there's not a right or wrong way. There really isn't. My goal is to help you realize that a reframe is simply challenging a negative belief. That's all it is. It's helping them decide, does this serve me? And I've actually used that in the past as well. Even though I have this belief that doesn't serve me, and in fact, I've become a slave to it, sometimes that's really powerful if it's the right verdict. Right? This idea that I'll never get better, even though I've been thinking this thought that I'll never get better, I deeply and completely love and appreciate, that's probably not the prophecy I want to speak over myself. I'm open to the idea that I could change that prophecy and heal the feeling that's feeding it. Making sense? Star 2. Are you with me? Are you seeing that it really is just about helping them question these verdicts that they're using that are defending their brokenness? Write that somewhere on your page, right? It's their ego defending their brokenness. And we don't want them to do that. We want their spirit to soar. Awesome. Thank you for raising your hands. Okay. Let me look at my notes here real quick. Anything else that I feel like I want to share about that? I'm feeling pretty good. Like we have the basics. So I'm going to go back down the line and I'm going to ask for feedback, ask if you have any questions, and then we'll do our closing. So, Shannon.
Hey. So I just wanted to make a comment that I don't know who said it to me, but when I was first in Greece, and I didn't think I said a hole in my heart, but I think I said part of my heart is missing. And so I didn't realize at the time, but the reframe the person gave to me was, well, that part is with Skylar and she's in heaven. How awesome is it that part of your heart is in heaven?
That's beautiful.
And to bring me to that heavenly place and any time I could go because part of me's there.
Yes.
And I don't remember who, I wish I did, but I just thought I'd share that because I think that's a great reframe for like when I know I felt like, you know, part of me was missing, part of me that was, you know, and I really like that. So
that's beautiful. And the word missing kings for me as well is I would want to work more on, I would flip back and forth between a part of my heart is missing, I'm missing my heart.
Yeah.
Right? Is she was my heart in that moment. My baby, we all feel that. So yeah, it's kind of fun if we can not get too serious and not get too concerned about trying to get it right. So that's a beautiful
one. Right.
Part of my heart is missing, yeah. And it's in heaven. And notice that follows that same pattern of then she anchored it to something, a higher mm-hmm. perspective, a view that was more feeding and less
mm-hmm.
defeating.
And so, less lost. But it felt like less lost.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So questions about the process itself? Any questions about the what, the how? Any?
No, I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you get through all the aspects, like everything that was on that sheet? Do you think you get through all of that in one session?
It depends on the suds.
Okay.
Right. Is she was sick for 10 years might just be a fact to her, and there's not a lot of emotion. The aggressive disease might be, right, is there's just so many there that I would capture all of them, and I would I would do my darndest. But yeah, it would absolutely just depend on the you know, the degree of grief that she has of each of those phrases and the amount of distress.
Because I think what I've done in the past is I haven't really maybe captured, I've heard all of them, and I probably put them in my verbiage, but I haven't captured them and written them down. I've written down the ones that really ping.
Mm-hmm.
So just an awareness that maybe I need to write a little more.
Yeah, and it does. It takes a little bit of practice to be able to listen and write and capture the phrases and then know, figure out which ones you want to go back and do a suds on. So
mm-hmm.
if you're getting the ones that are the highest ping, that's cool. That's fine. And of course, if we can get them all, even better. And
mm-hmm.
as you know, when someone comes back, we talk and we see where we want to go for the day. But if there's something like this that we've been working on, we don't jump ahead. I come back to those, to retest the same aspects and story that we had before
mm-hmm.
we go on. So, good job.
Thank you.
All right. Helen.
Hello.
Kind of tricky
home.
As you're driving. You're almost home. Kind of tricky as you're driving, but does it kind of make sense? Do you kind of see what we're talking about?
I'll probably go back and listen to it again and get the details and write everything down. But it does.
Perfect.
So I guess kind of back to Shannon's. So, I mean, because that's a lot of aspects to cover in one session.
Mm-hmm.
So would you just continue to tap and just move through each of the aspects, or would you break it down and, like, cover, does that make sense?
I would work on every aspect, and here's why. The reason people call it complicated grief in the therapies world is because they don't realize that every one of these things has roots and trees and, right, it's its own orchard of pain. Aggressive disease, and then we might. So I would take that as like it's a whole page, and I would ask them. So tell me about the aggressive disease, and was there ever anyone else that you knew that had that disease? And right, bing, bing, bing. Now we've got a daisy chain to some. To my aunt died of the same thing, right? So that's the thing is in this three paragraphs, this one person kind of gave you possibly six or seven sessions worth of starter phrases.
Yeah.
And then it's about digging deeper and figure out, you know, again, using the suds to figure out which ones. But, yeah, I'm always, especially like I say with grief, the due diligence to me is just crucial because we don't want any aspect to pop up later and then they go, it didn't work. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
It's just an aspect. So, yeah. So patience pays off. It's kind of tricky, but patience.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. And on that note, also be aware that it looks like these are all such a compact story, but once you start digging into each aspect, they're not really compact stories. So you're not going to get totally bored or frustrated. I would pray that you wouldn't, that you'd be able to be patient and realize that each one of these aspects does have its own book almost of stories and beliefs behind it. So we just get to be patient. So All right. Kelly, how about you? Do you think this makes sense? Is this any questions? How are you feeling about tonight?
It's what I've needed. This, to me, has been one of the best calls.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. It just ties everything in. I love that you challenged us lovingly to go through the paragraph. And we know more than we think we know.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. I'm excited.
You're welcome.
And again, I hope that you're realizing that sometimes when we talk about the reframe, our ego feels like it has to be some big dang deal. It really isn't, right? It's about
going. You know, that reframe has driven me crazy. And I just have to
go. Yeah. It's all about helping them decide to think about it differently and however we can get there. So awesome. Thank you, love.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Melissa.
Yeah. Is it, I forget whether you had said this before, but as you're working through any of this, and let's say one of them, let's say just the first one that we worked on, she's my best friend, you get to the point where you've developed, you've gone through the whole process, and you've anchored something better in her mind, does it have a carryover value to the rest of the story?
You mean if I've reframed it and now her vibration is higher, we've reduced the suds on the angst of it, the grief of it. And yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
So that you may not have to go over every aspect.
I would ask them to retest every aspect just because I want to be sure I didn't miss something.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I probably won't have to tap them because there's something about raising that vibration of once we hit the awareness. Ping.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, Kelly, you know, Kelly's going, oh, tell me about the whole. That feeling, that vibrational shift of perception changes everything. That's what we're really, that's the miracle part of it, is it changes everything in the story because that one part that felt so profound, it may be a little change, it may be profound, but yes, that's the beauty.
Okay, cool.
In EFT, they call it the generalization effect, is that when this gets lighter, all these others seem to feel a little lighter just because I've shifted the vibration and my verdict about that one. I lighten up about others.
Yeah.
So,
Good question. It kind of makes you feel hopeful. It's
perfect word.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect word.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Superb. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. So here's what I'd like you to do is, notice that this came out of, this was an article, a grief article that I was reading because I'm working on my grief stuff. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do is, because this will help you practice this, I'm going to post in your lesson material an actual reframe formula, reframe. We're going to be refamous. The reframe formula sheet for you to print out. Now that we've kind of gone through it, but I'm going to invite you to go and like read articles and find the aspects and find the verdicts, listen to conversations, right? When you're reading your novels or watching TV or listening to someone's conversation outside of your sessions, I'm going to invite you to play with this idea of verdicts and reframes. And notice how often, especially when, you know, egos are such funny things, is for some reason egos love to compete for the biggest pain, right? As I've told the story before, when I worked at the courthouse and I'm listening to these people come in and everybody's trying to one-up the other person with how pitiful their life, raise your hand, start to, if you know what I'm talking about. Well, yeah, well, I had this surgery. Well, yeah, well, my mom this. Well, yeah, well, every hand just went up like that, right? Egos love to do that. Ego loves to play the victim. So it's really important that we start teaching and assisting our clients in recognizing that that's not who you are. That doesn't feel good. That's not who I hold a higher vision for you. And so play with it. Play with it. Even in your kids' books, maybe. I don't know. but post some in the Facebook page, especially the funny ones, when you find one that, or it comes out in your session, post just the verdict and how you went to the reframe. One of my favorite ones a year or so ago, because it was just so funny to me, was I was working with a gentleman who had given a friend some money, I believe it was, and was so he was so upset about this financial mistake and the sheer annoyance that this person wouldn't pay him back, and he said in a statement way, you know, I guess the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so we tapped on his discouragement, and I celebrated that he had a loving, generous heart. And then I said, so I have a question for you. And he was like one of my first clients from 100 years ago. I have a question for you. If the road to hell is paved with good intentions, what's the road to heaven paved with? And he sputtered, but he laughed. He got it, that was such a stupid little idiom that he had been rehearsing in his mind that made him angry. Well, that doesn't make sense, right? As if the road to hell is paved with good intentions, then what's the road to heaven paved with? And it blew it right up. His angst disappeared. His ego wanted to still be a little annoyed a little bit, but because we were able to laugh at it, it just popped. It just went away. And that's what we're trying to do, is help them lighten up and pop those verdicts that are keeping them playing small, wounded victim in pain. So thank you, ladies, for showing up tonight and for helping me go through this and practice this. And I'm really excited that you're going to get just so much more satisfaction, if nothing else, out of your sessions, because now you have a process for doing the reframes, and you've had enough practice that the reframes are going to come easier and easier. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if you start recognizing that you hear the verdict so loudly that you're holding it on your tablet. That sometimes what I'll do is I'll go like underline it, like, ooh, verdict, and Spirit will be able to then give you some deliberate and beautiful way to do the reframe to help them change their mind about it. So awesome. All right, any questions? Star 2, questions, comments, anything in closing before we open the line to say goodnight? Beautiful. All right. Thank you, ladies. Bye.
Bye-bye.